wasn't like every time I drank, I blacked out, you know. But I was, like I said, I had to drink, you know. And so eventually I came down here, you know, and like I said, already within about the first year, my mother's asking me stuff about my drinking, you know, that she had heard from friends of hers. Like, she come up to me one day and she said, I hear from Judy that, you know, she said, all you want to do is drink anymore. You know, you don't really hang around with some of the guys you used to, and that's all you want to do. And, you know, I lied. She knew I was lying. I knew I was lying. But I said, no, you know, that's not true, you know. And then there was another time where she said, you know, she said straight up to me, you know, this was right after I graduated, you know, she said, stop with this drinking every night, you know. And I was like, you know, I haven't been drinking every night, you know. And like I said, it was just, we both knew the truth. But that's just how it was, you know. And I kept doing it. I ended up coming down here to go to school. And after, you know, I'd only been drinking a little over a year at the time. And already I'm having thoughts like, man, this stuff's just, it's way too important to me, you know, alcohol. And I definitely had some goals. I had some aspirations when I came here. You know, I was going to be a businessman and all this stuff, you know. And I don't have it in me. You know, to this day, I don't have it in me. Without God, I don't have, you know, I don't have the ability to to live life, you know. And that's, there's opinions, there's, you know, there's feelings and stuff, and there's, you know, there's the truth. And that's the truth for me, is that I just don't have it in me to handle life, to handle everyday stuff that, you know, my mother, my father, other people that I see do. You know, I can't do it by myself. I can't open, you know, when I got here, I was afraid to open the mail. I had letters stacked up for, you know, from a couple of years ago, and I had, you know, I wouldn't answer the phone. You know, I've gotten a lot better about that, but I'm filled with fear, you know. And so around this time, I came down here to go to school, like I said, and it was around that time, I think, excuse me, where I started to black out pretty much every time I drink. You know, if I pick up a drink, I black out, you know. And it was fun at first, you know. I would like it, what people were telling me and stuff, you know. Oh, that's pretty funny, I said that, you know. I was finding that I could say stuff that I would say stuff that, you know, I would hear it when I was sober, or at least somewhat sober, the next day, and say, wow, I said that, you know, I did that, you know. I'm the guy that talks about in the big book that, you know, I resemble my normal nature very little when I'm drinking, you know. I would insult people and, you know, get into little stuff here, and it started to become embarrassing, you know. And it became to the point where I want to drink, but I don't want to black out, you know. And that's what I would say to people, you know. I was also the guy, it says in the big book, where I was always going on the wagon for keeps, you know. I was always quitting. I'm always, you know, I felt like, you know, I just need some more self-confidence. I need to start working out. I need to do this or that, whatever, you know, whatever it was, whatever these ideas were, you know, that was going to help me to get my life on track. And I always ended up drinking again, you know. I don't know how many times I said I quit. You know, there's a few stories I have where, you know, I remember I went home and one time and, you know, I'm talking to a friend of mine up there, and we're out at the bar the night before Thanksgiving, and I hadn't drank for probably a couple weeks or something. I don't know exactly. I wasn't really into keeping track back then. But, you know, I said, yeah, you know, I don't drink. Oh, no, I was telling this girl, yeah, I don't drink anymore, you know, and this and that, and I'm doing well, I'm working out and stuff. And so she ends up talking to a friend of mine, you know, another guy I went to high school with, and she's telling me, yeah, you know, Jim, he doesn't drink anymore and this and that. And he's like, and he comes over a few minutes later, and he's like, yeah, I'm talking to Allison, and she's telling me that, you know, you don't drink anymore. I look over, and you're double-fisting, you know. And that's about how it was for me, you know. I would quit, and then I changed my mind, you know. I changed my mind a lot, you know. And so that's, I don't know, that's about how it went for, you know. I'd say by the time I was 21 is, you know, I remember having thoughts when I'm turning 21, like, man, I'm going nowhere, you know, and I gotta stop drinking, you know. It was clear to me that drinking was a problem for me. You know, what I didn't know then, what I know now is that I thought I could make the decision to stop drinking and stick to it, you know. So I did that a lot, and, you know, I've done what it talks about in the big book a lot about, you know, going down to the bar and trying to have a few drinks, you know, because that's what I really want, you know. And there's a guy in this group, I don't see him here tonight, but he puts it best for me, is that what would happen is, you know, really what I wanted was the feeling that I get after like three or four drinks, you know, where I'm just whatever's going on, I don't care anymore. I don't really care. I just, and then this panic would come over me, you know, or something. This worry that if I don't have another drink, this, you know, the way that I feel is gonna change. It's gonna go away. It's gonna fade, you know, like that. And so I have another drink and then blackout again, you know. So that's how it went, you know. Eventually I dropped out of school. You know, I remember I'm the type of guy, I would go to class and just sit there and just not be present, you know. I'd be high or whatever, you know, and just I would go and just completely waste everybody's time there, basically waste my mother's money, you know, and that's what I was doing, you know. So I dropped out. I remember telling her that, hey, I don't really want to go to school anymore, you know. And she's, you know, she's spending, like, you know, this is costing us like over $30,000 a year. And like I said, I don't come from a wealthy family. And she, you know, I think about that now, how she must have looked at that, you know. Like, I'm 4.5 years into school, and I just said, I don't want to do this anymore. And she said, well, yeah, you are going to keep doing this, you know. I've been killing myself, you know, working 2 or 3 jobs to, you know, get you to go to this school. And, you know, my GPA was steadily declining, you know. I don't think I was over a 2.0 the last 3 or 4 semesters, you know. It was pathetic. And so, you know, like I said, I dropped out. And towards the end of that, I started working at a bar down here. For a long time, I worked there for a couple of years, and it was great. It was really, I had a good time there, you know. I had some bad times there, you know, because they were pretty liberal about us drinking on the job, you know. Or maybe they weren't, but I did, you know. It was I don't know, but I drank a lot there, and I would black out just like as if I was a customer in the bar, you know. And I'm supposed to be there working, you know, and I come out of a blackout, and, you know, like I said, it was great. I'd drive home in a blackout and wake up and have about, you know, $200 in my pocket, you know, or something like that. And but, you know, then I started getting into some trouble there, and, you know, they're putting me on probation a couple nights, taking away shifts, you know, and this, and, you know, that went on for a while. And, you know, I remember really the first night, you know, that happened, the manager of the whole place comes up to me, you know, and I'm full of shame, you know, because I blacked out and I made a scene and everything, you know. I just looked like a punk kid to all my coworkers and everything. And you know, I had to come in the middle of the week to stock up the bar for the weekend, and I'm down there just kind of, I didn't say hi to anybody, I'm just, you know, doing my thing. And you know, the manager just comes down, and he's like, hey, he kind of looked like House, like Dr. House, but he talked like a truck driver, kind of, or something, you know. And he's like, hey, Jimbo, you know, he's like, we're all alcoholics here. He's like, nobody hates you, you know. And that's how I felt, you know. And he's like, come on, let's go smoke a joint, you know. And so that, you know, I carried on. I don't know why I said that, but that was just, that's how it was, you know. I would be petrified coming out of these blackouts, you know, as, you know, and I don't know how I never woke up in jail or anything. I just didn't, you know. I used to drive. I used to do all kinds of selfish stuff, you know, and just didn't happen. But anyway, you know, eventually I got fired from that job. I was in a blackout, you know. But right before I said some stuff to the bar manager, and I guess, you know, nothing's ever really the way I think it is, you know. I guess I dared her to fire me, you know, and she really even didn't, you know. But I just didn't go back the next day to talk to the manager, because I kind of understood it from somebody I talked to, that I had got fired, you know. And so anyway, I was done there, and that was a good thing, definitely, you know. And it was actually a little before that I had my first experience with Alcoholics Anonymous. I had one of my nights, it was a day, I started drinking, I went to the Outback Bowl, started drinking, you know, right when I woke up, and got into the whiskey later on, and you know how that goes. And it was just, I came out of a blackout, you know, and then immediately went to the bar at, like, you know, I don't know what time it was, but it was nighttime. I somehow had gotten to my house, went over to the bar, came out of another blackout the next morning. I couldn't walk, you know, and I was, you know, these feelings, the way that I felt, you know, was continually getting worse when I'd come out of these things, you know, my ability to bounce back from it, you know. And I'm like 22 years old, and I'm saying, like, man, I can't drink like I used to, you know. And it's just like, and, you know, I started to get some physical things. I remember, you know, I this was one, you know, every time I'd take the first drink of the night, I would get this intense pain in my stomach, you know, and it was bad. Like, I would say, like, man, I got to stop doing this, you know. But then I, you know, just kind of work through it. And because you can't feel it after a while. But let me get back on track here. I came to AA, and I didn't stay, you know, and I still had the idea that I could do this myself. You know, I could stay sober on my own. AA didn't make much of an impression on me. I went to like two meetings, and it just didn't do much for me. And so like I said, I had met this girl. We moved in together after a few months, and I remember telling her about this AA meeting that I went to, and I said, yeah, you know, I'm an alcoholic, you know. And she said, well, you know, I don't think you're an alcoholic, you know. And I don't know, maybe a couple months later, she's like, yeah, you shouldn't drink, you know, don't, you know, because I wasn't drinking every day at this point, like I said, because I knew what was happening. I didn't want to black out. I know what happens when I drink, and I would quit and start, quit and start, you know. And so we had all these things, and she would say, you know, you can't drink, you know, don't drink. And I'd say, okay, I'm not going to drink, you know. And then I'd end up, you know, I'd call her, she wouldn't be home, and I'd be like, hey, I'm just going to have a couple beers, you know. And she'd say, all right, well, don't get out of control. And, you know, there might have been a couple nights where I actually didn't, you know, but inevitably there was these nights I'd come home and I'd be in a blackout, and I was nasty. I'd be, you know, verbally abusive, you know, and just doing stuff that is not in my nature, you know, stuff that I know is wrong. You know, I'd come home, throw the dog off the wall in a blackout. This is stuff she would tell me, you know, I don't remember it, you know. But anyway, you know, that didn't lie. It went on like that, and the last night, that's what happened. Same thing is that. I was living on Davis Island with this girl. I went out, you know, I thought I had $300 extra dollars in my bank account. It turns out I just bounced my rent check, and I thought, you know, I remember having the idea that it was like that, you know, in Monopoly, like bank error in your favor or something like that. That's what I thought, because I'm seeing this money, and I thought they had taken the money for the rent, you know. And so I'm like, man, you know, I got two new tires on my car, and I'm going to go over to the, you know, the Sox. It was like the first week of the season. The Sox were playing somebody, you know, it didn't matter, but I'm going over there, and I'm going to watch the Sox and have a few beers. There was another guy that was from where I'm from, and we went over there, and, you know, I started out, dollar Pabst Blue Ribbons, seemed like a good deal, having a couple, and then, I don't know, you know, I don't remember what happened. Apparently I went up to the liquor bar up the street and did what I always did. I, you know, started drinking some whiskey, I would assume. The only thing that I really remember from about 2 o'clock on, and I'm not even sure if this actually happened, but I think I threw up all over the bar that I was drinking at, and I think the guy said, all right, you got to go, which, you know, but that's about all I remember for about 8 or 10 hours, you know. And but then I come to the next morning, you know, and this girl's there, and, you know, she was always upset the nights, you know, where I'd come home in these blackouts, and she would say, like, you know, did you mean that? And she's screaming at me and hitting me and stuff. And this morning she was just like, yeah, you know what you did last night, you know, and I guess I'd hit her, you know. And that's, I'm not saying that, I'm just saying that because that was, I mean, I was devastated, you know, on top of the fact that I knew the game was over as far as me drinking a long time ago, you know. I'd been trying, you know. And I honestly wanted to stop drinking a lot of times, you know, I really did. And she says, you know, you hit me, and, you know, she said to me something along the lines of, you know, you probably shouldn't drink ever again, or at least for a long, long time. And she's like, you need help, you know. And I knew she was right, you know, so I did what I did the time before. You know, actually, before that, after that went down, I was, you know, I was still very much drunk. I remember it, but I was drunk, you know. And I grabbed the knife from the kitchen. I was going to put it in my stomach. I was staggering outside on the sidewalk. I was going to, you know, put it in my gut and fall into the channel on Davis Island there. That's the way that I was feeling, you know. And for some reason, I think my mother popped into my head. I think that's what happened. You know, I went back inside, and I, you know, like I said, it was just like any other night. I think I'd pissed my pants again. If I did, either that or I went swimming, you know. And I go back inside, and I laid next to the toilet for a while on the cool tiles. You know how that feels, and, you know, and you just feel like you're gonna die. You know, I just felt, that's how it was. I felt like I was gonna die, you know, when I'd come off these drinking things. And you know, I called my mother a little while later, And she did for me the last time what she did the time that I went to AA before. She directed me to her brother-in-law, you know, my stepdad's brother. And he's a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, so I called him, and, you know, he told me his story again, which he'd done the time before. And he said, you know, you gotta find a meeting, you know. And he said, and he started talking about, you know, I can get you in a halfway house, probably up here in Southie. And I'm like, well, I don't know. I didn't really know what to do. But I went to a meeting. I think I waited a couple of days, actually. But I went a couple of days later. I ended up going to a newcomers meeting, and there was a guy there who I actually just saw last week, and I hadn't seen him in like 3 years. And, you know, this guy stuck his hand out to me. I don't remember a word of what was said. There was like three or four people in there, but this guy started talking to me after the meeting. You know, and as Mark told you, that's what I needed. You know, I'm not going to come in and introduce myself and say hi, you know, and it's just not going to happen. I probably would have slipped right out, you know, and maybe not came back. I don't know. But this guy did that, and he told me about this group that met on Thursday nights. How am I doing on time? Okay. You know, I came to the group, and I met Mark, you know, who became my sponsor. It was this guy's sponsor at the time, you know, and I remember it was really crazy, you know. And I can look back on you know, the first few months, and it was, even though it was really crazy, it was still pretty cool, you know. It was I definitely didn't dive right into the fellowship of this group. You know, I'm the guy, I always had to get up early, or, you know, I can't hang out, I gotta go. You know, and I'd go home and sit by myself, and, you know, and I'd do the same type of stuff, you know, to my dog that I would do when I'm drinking, you know. And I'm not saying that because I'm just an angry man, or as my girl likes to say, an angry little man, you know, when God's not in my life, you know. And that's what I would do. It was miserable. You know, I was miserable for a long time. But I would do just enough. You know, I remember I'd go up to Mark and I'd be crazy over this girl that told, you know, threw me out. You know, and you know, we can't see things for what they are. You know, I'm resentful at her. I think, and it's all me. You know, and he would say, all right, well, you know, write, you know, do a little writing on it. You know, and I would, and we'd talk about it. You know, I get a little relief, and eventually. You know, like I said, I didn't jump into it, but within the first couple months, I was doing my fourth step, I think. You know, and I did the fifth step with them. And there was definitely something about that. You know, it wasn't because I, you know, had told them all my secrets or anything. It was just like I felt like I was, you know, doing something to be a member here. You know, I felt like I was doing something that I felt like I was a part of this thing. You know, after I did that fifth step, I immediately did six and seven. And, you know, I did some of the amends, you know, and I got to the point where that was really, you know, where the amends were really weighing on me, you know, and I definitely have balked at some of them to this day. You know, there's some that I should have made, you know, by now, and that's it weighs on me, you know, and I definitely feel that stuff, and I've made some of them, you know, and. I mean, there's nothing like that, you know. There's nothing like being able to go up to somebody and, you know, tell them that I was wrong, you know, because I wasn't ever wrong, you know. If you know, before it was always somebody else's fault, you know. And so I've had the experience to do some of that, you know, to make some amends and to make some financial amends, and I still got a lot of work to do, and I'm by no means perfect. And you know, on some days I feel like I'm not any different than, you know, the guy who just came in. You know, the way that I feel. You know, but most days are not like that anymore. You know, if I'm I've struggled with the 11th step a lot. You know, with the nightly review. You know, and the way that I felt today was a direct result of that. You know, that I didn't immediately look at, you know, with the 10th step, immediately look at what I had done. You know, and I didn't do the nightly review that the 11th step tells me to do, you know, to where had I been, you know, selfish, dishonest, resentful, or afraid, you know. And, you know, there's at least two of those that are in every single one of my days, you know, usually fear and resentment. And, you know, so I've struggled with that. And I've always, you know, I wouldn't be here this long. I wouldn't be here almost 5 years if I didn't pray, you know. It's something I need to get better at. you know, because I think what happens, and maybe some people can relate to this, you know, is now that I've had the experience of what it's like to be free of myself once in a while, you know, that when I'm not, it's very painful. You know, it's very painful to, you know, to upset people. It's very painful to, you know, to know that there's stuff out there that I haven't set right, you know, because I have the ability to do it, you know, and I've been shown how to do it, and it's just the ball's in my court, you know, and I'm balking at it, you know, and that's painful, you know. But like I said, I guess I've had to take the actions, you know. I've had to stay close with the sponsor throughout, you know, these years, sometimes closer than others, you know, and I'm not always sponsored. I don't always do what's suggested of me. But I don't know. Like I said, I haven't seen anybody, you know, who's an alcoholic stay here without, you know, at least, you know, running their life back to these steps, you know, because that's where I get to. It's like, you know, I get to the point where I have to go back to the steps, you know. I have to rely on God, you know. It's the only choice I have, either that or drink. And you know, I don't know. I'm very grateful to this home group for being here, you know, because I don't know. I can't say with any certainty that I'd still be alive today, you know, almost 5 years later. I don't know. Who knows? But I know the way that I felt when I came here, my outlook on life was just, it was grim, you know. And so I'm grateful to AA, and I'm grateful to this room, and, you know, hopefully, you know, I show that, you know, and I hope that's all I hope for today, is that I hope people know that, you know, that I'll help, you know, if they ask me for help, and I'm willing to help. And I don't know, that's about all I got. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Jimmy, that was good.